I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Junction presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just go to CropMetcalf.com. Join their team today. Joining us in about 20 minutes, Sebastian Salazar. We'll talk World Cup with him. Soccer Drab told me that Sebastian is in Qatar.
Nice.
He's boots on the ground in the Middle East.
Sebastian, you know, I did post-game for Redskins games on NBC Sports Washington, and there were various hosts over the years, but Sebastian was one of the most talented guys I ever saw, so I wasn't shocked at all when he made the move over to ESPN, and he was a soccer guy. So it's been a great thing for his career. I wanted to say something about the break. So during the break, we're watching the Argentina World Cup game. It's down to the last couple minutes. They're in extra time. Argentina's actually trailing 2-1 to Saudi Arabia. And there was a collision between the goalie, I think an Argentine player, and his own teammate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he took like a knee to the face or something like that. And the guy was down, like you would have thought he was dead, like murdered on the field.
He was face down on the turf.
And they had to get the stretcher out. And it's taken all this
right up.
It's taken all this time for the stretcher to come out. And then Lindsey John, who's been missing in action for days and days.
I was shocked to see him here today.
Jeez Louise.
Lindsey John, like Jones on the player for going down, and then Drab had a great line. Drab, do you want to repeat it?
Well, I just said, Lindsey John, you need to zip it. You call out for the sniffle.
It's true.
Because Lindsey John has missed the majority of the last 2 months.
I mean, it's winding down, right? Like, he's going to pretty much stop coming.
I think he's faking half of the absences. But
he claimed that he went on like a church retreat and everybody got sick.
Everybody got the flu.
Then they got a secondary infection. Right? They got pneumonia. Hospital ridden. Yeah, John?
Yeah, I
remember how to use that thing there? I haven't been here in a while.
I was here on Sunday when I do the morning shows, but I was saying to Cakes last time I was here that I'm gonna die in my 30s because anytime I get sick all the time. And like I said, when I had my allergy attack, I've had everything but AIDS. I get sick all the time. And
stinks.
I got the flu from a Kairos retreat I went on, and then I got a secondary infection. So I love being here, but I do get sick all the time.
Very frail.
I hadn't heard this one in a while.
Compromised immune system.
He called out sick because a friend of his was sick.
I did not say that.
He's being so cautious. He doesn't want to get it. You know what?
Hey, you know,
I didn't say that.
He's the Zach Wilson of radio.
I didn't say that, though. I said...
Accept
responsibility.
Yeah, but
you
I am.
You didn't want to wake up.
Comes from money.
I said I was sick. I was sick, and this girl's boyfriend got all of us sick. That's what I said. I'm sick because I'm not coming in because of my friend. I didn't say that.
All right, don't worry. Relax. It's okay over there.
He's got an edge to him today.
Lindsey John, though, taking some initiative behind the scenes.
What's he doing?
I haven't seen it, but he said that he was about to post something on the Instagram page. He had taken initiative about a month ago and said he wanted to do stuff. I think this might be the first time he's doing something.
I hope it wasn't the video he shot of me trying to guess what Valdez was
I think
eating.
That might be it.
Well, I was editing that down because
that
was way too long.
The worst video I've ever seen.
Hey, John, what
so
did you learn?
So it'll be up at Sports Junkies Radio. Follow us on Instagram.
What have you learned at this internship? Like, well, we don't do internships, but they made an exception for you.
Yeah.
Because of your family.
Zach Wilson.
Because of your wealth.
Well, Valdez and Drav have taught me a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff in producing. Uh-huh. And
who's
so,
harder on you, Valdez? I saw Valdez scold you one time.
Yeah, he did.
Valdez or
Drav? I felt really bad about Yeah, because I was filled in for Drav when he was out, and I forgot about the Nats Player of the Week segment. Yeah. And Valdez was really pissed at me.
The Berry Crush smoothie from our friends at Tropical Smoothie Cafe.
Yeah.
You forgot to read. Cost us some money.
Yeah, that's the first thing. That's the first thing Brett taught me. He says, whatever you do, you could screw up on the board, whatever you want, but don't F with the money.
Right. Smart.
What else?
But yeah, Drav and Valdez have shown me a lot of behind the scenes, so now on Sundays, I do the two pregame shows, get to produce those.
Right.
And I've
What have you learned from us?
The radio instincts, I think. I think they've gotten better. I think I've been more comfortable.
Yours?
Yeah.
Who
I mean, they're pretty
the
terrible.
Most from? Like JP Cakes or me?
I would say either you or JP.
Really? Not Cakes?
I don't know.
Make pretty it good all radio
we,
instincts.
We need to work on those instincts.
All right. Don't worry, buddy. It's good to have you back. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
All right. He is helping us behind the scenes, Sports Junkies Radio on Instagram. I haven't seen the guest the sandwich bit.
It's not
great. Sounds fascinating.
Unless he's the world's greatest editor, it's not going to turn out great.
No, I edited it. I edited it all the way down to 16 seconds.
Okay. All right. Maybe it'll be good.
It looks like it's official, by the way. Saudi Arabia has upset.
Wow. Good for them.
Argentina.
Good for them.
They were plus 1,900 to win that match.
Wow. Ooh.
That's
I think.
Maybe that's what I should use my free bet on.
Greg Norman is fist pumping right now.
All the live
Did you bet on the favorite? You bet on Argentina?
Of course I bet on the favorite.
Hey, you know, always bet against Cake. Yeah. It'll never go away.
It doesn't matter
how much of an underdog you are.
What's your lean on the Commanders?
Oh, by the way, before the Commanders, last night in the parlay, which of course meant its fiery death, its fiery demise, I had Rondale Moore.
Well, it didn't even make it to the game because we had the World Cup action.
Okay.
And it was a win, money line win, so that was done on the draw.
Well, just to point out, I had Rondale Moore anytime touchdown score.
I'm
like, the first series for the Cardinals, he tweaked his groin, was gone for the rest of the night.
We actually did make it to Monday Night Football because we did a rebuy.
Ah.
I actually didn't put in Valdez's bet because I wasn't back in Virginia by 2 p.m.
Okay.
By the time the match started. So we put something in on Cardinals plus 10, but then Rondale Moore
plus
went out. Rondale Moore went out during warmups or
dead.
Whatever happened.
Just dead.
Well,
my under.
They
hit.
Needed plus
you
30.
You got me to stay back on the under for Garoppolo.
Well, that's just
is that the only
murdering
one?
Them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you joning? Chippy's joning.
Like
he's Stu.
I probably
like
lost
he's Stu
my
Finer.
Bet too.
No, no, right? I think he's just joning on us. Not
it's funny.
Yeah,
we're spectacularly bad. Yeah, we missed. Then we did a rebuy and missed that. He missed his. I probably missed mine. I never checked. McCaffrey over 40.
You guys sleep on this. When Jason is out and Jason is so cheap, he puts $6 on these bets, even though FanDuel's paying for it.
Right.
I put like $40 on this bet yesterday.
Why? Pretty big one. Pretty sizable.
Because you just want to hit it.
Yes, because I want to come in here and have $100 bills fall from the ceiling and all of us
happen.
Go crazy.
Yeah. All right.
Now, is this your money or your sugar daddy's money?
No, my sugar daddy's money, but I'm responsible for it. I'm
true. You're the caretaker.
Yeah, I'm the executive of the account. So now I got to hit another bet to make up for it.
By the way,
we had the Cardinals plus 10.
Yeah.
They lost 38-10.
I am
just dead.
Didn't we know all along that Kyler wasn't going to play?
I mean,
it was trending to not play, but we didn't know.
It didn't look good for him playing.
Yeah.
Kicks had a Rondale Moore touchdown. Rondale Moore, one catch for -6 yards.
No, it was a rush for -6.
Oh, sorry.
But he, yeah, complete non-factor. Then he went out with a gimpy groin.
By the way, real quick, Drabby, I know this might interest you because I know you're a Shams guy, right? So did you see what happened?
The NBA
insider? Yeah, that Shams guy who always has all the NBA tips.
Yeah.
Kay Adams was interviewing him, and apparently she saw size for him.
Oh,
did
I saw
that,
like last week. Well, she said something about
when we have our kids together.
When we have our kids together.
She's totally flirting with him.
I know,
I looked at him. He's not even that.
He's a good looking guy. Yeah, he's a good looking guy.
He is?
Yeah, I think so, for sure. I mean, maybe not your typical Hollywood Brad Pitt, but I think he's a good-looking guy, and he's very successful, and he's young.
She was
he's
all famous. Into him.
Did you guys see the breakdown? It was going viral before the game last night. The comparison to Jimmy G walking in versus Colt McCoy.
They're crushing Colt McCoy.
So Jimmy G comes in.
Guy, isn't he?
Yeah, but Jimmy G comes in, looks like he's got a tailored suit. It was a pink suit.
Yeah.
He's all good-looking. And then Colt McCoy just looks like a bumpkin.
He looks like a dad. He looks like, you know, like a good-looking dad, but he looks like a dad compared to Jimmy G.
Mm-hmm.
This is not fair. It's like taking a picture with Tom Wilson. Like, you never want to do that. Never, ever take a picture with Tom Wilson like we did years ago.
Colt McCoy is a fine-looking kid, but he looks like a kid.
Yeah, but he's no Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo is dashing and handsome.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. All right, let's hit the skins here. We got a little time. Come on, let's get into it. Play that music, Cakes. Any excuse to play that music. You don't like to hear that.
I know you do.
Of course, they have the big matchup against the Falcons. We could get into some of that later this segment or, you know, the rest of this week. But let's go through the PFF grades. Cakes, you care to guess who were the highest rated guys on offense and defense? Let's start with the defense. This was a defensive-oriented win. Complete domination.
Well, defense, I will go with Jonathan Allen.
A 90.2.
Ooh.
Totally dominating performance. Of course, he's going to join us today at 9 o'clock. We'll talk all about that. Montez Sweat, second highest rated commander, got an 84 grade. Kendall Fuller, who's been flashing the last few weeks. He's the one that had the pick six, right?
He did, yes.
Yeah, Kendall playing great of late. Good Council graduate. Cam Curl, also in the 80s, got an 82 grade from PFF. And Bobby McCain, who I think is playing significantly better this year than he did last year. Jamie Davis had another solid game. JP, he got a 72.6. In fact, I saw yesterday during Ron Rivera's live press conference, they were asking if Allen and Payne and those guys should be in Pro Bowl consideration. He said, absolutely. He said, so should Montez. And he said, Jamin Davis should creep into the conversation.
What? Wow.
Now,
look
he didn't
that.
Say he should be a Pro Bowler. But I think he said something to the effect of he's trending in that direction.
Hey, for
so
him
they're
to get
very
that,
happy
for
him
to get that sort of praise after his rookie campaign, it means he's making strides.
Right. And did you see what Ron is crediting Jamin's improvement to? That they learned how to motivate him. That he's a guy who you can get on. And he says Jack got on his ass.
Oh, so, okay.
So, like, he's not a guy that you necessarily have to baby. Like, so, like everybody's different.
Bad cop works against Jamin Davis.
He doesn't mind you being on his ass. He come from that military background. Mm-hmm. He's used to it. A little discipline is fine for him. And he's been responding to that. So, who knows if that's actually true, but that's Ron's perception. Offensively, Cakes, who do you think were the highest rated offensive guys?
I'm going to put Logan Thomas at the top.
He was top three.
Okay.
He was top three, 76.8 grade. Brian Robinson got a good grade, 86 for the day. That's, you know, I remember a couple of those runs where it looked like he was just stopped dead and he just powered through.
He had a remarkable run. I think it was like on a third and two where he picked up 4 yards where he was definitely like dead in his tracks by a Houston defender in the backfield. He shed that tackle. Broke another tackle to get the first down.
He's looked better the last couple weeks. Yeah. I feel like he's got a little more life to his legs the last few weeks. So
I mean, it's never going to be
trending in the right direction.
It's never going to be super pretty with him. He's just kind of like a meat and potatoes runner, but he runs hard. I give him credit for that.
Right. Terry McLaurin was in the top five. He had a 74.9 rating. And Sam Cosmi, Cakes, in some limited duty. He got a very high grade. So, Commanders 6-5, big matchup with the Falcons. Of course, right now the line looks like it's about 4. Commanders favored by 4. If you look at the injury front, the big news is Chase Young has been added to the active roster.
Don't know if he's going to play.
Whether
though.
Or not he plays, who knows? But he has
it's
been
good
added
development.
To the active roster. Yeah, for sure. We'll see. I don't know. I get a sense he may not play.
I agree.
I kind of think he might not play either.
I get a sense that they feel like they got a good thing going right now, that he's not where he needs to be yet in terms of the physicality, getting all that and having the confidence.
I know
they've
said they don't see something that they want to see.
Yeah.
And look, with Logan Thomas, maybe it's a little bit different, but you finally got the game that you were hoping for from Logan Thomas. It might have been that maybe he was rushed to the field too soon.
Now, one good thing, when you it's going to be a little bit different this week, I think, versus the two previous weeks. You can run. You can have some success running against the Falcons, but they're not god-awful against the run, Cakes. They're giving up 123 yards per game. Just to put it in comparison, last week the Texans were giving up 181 yards per game going into that game. The Commanders on the season only giving up 103 yards per game on the ground. So I think they'll try to establish a run, but you may not see 40 to 50 rushes this week. You might have to see a little bit more Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah, and on the other side, they're going to have their hands full. I'm talking about the Commanders' defensive line, stopping Mariota, Patterson, Algier. I mean, they just come at you in waves, and they love to run the ball throughout
the
game.
And they're very good at it.
But the Commanders have been stout against the run, especially in the past month. So
yeah,
if you can make Mariota one-dimensional and force him to beat you through the air, I kind of like the Commanders' chances at home.
He's only averaging 170 yards a game passing, but you know what? Taylor Heinicke's not exactly lighting the world on fire passing the football either. So it should be a very, very difficult matchup, I think, for the Commanders.
All right, coming up next, we will pivot away from American football and talk about world football. That's soccer with Sebastian Salazar, ESPN soccer host. He will weigh in live from Qatar. He's covering the World Cup. We'll talk about that next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Junks coming to you on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Right now, we head to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. This next guest is calling in from the furthest spot I think, ever for a Junks call in. I defy you to find a spot.
We haven't had anybody call from New Zealand or Australia?
Not that I can recall.
May have. How long was the flight, Sebastian?
12 hours and 35 minutes, guys. 12 hours, 35 minutes. It feels closer than a Katerinburg, wherever the last time I called in was during the 2018 Russia World Cup, where Cakes was worried about my next flight in domestic airlines in Russia. But all's good here in Qatar so far.
I'm always looking out for you. And you brought up something that I wanted to
feel bad.
Ask
we
you.
Only have you on every 4 years.
We should have him on more.
I used to see him all the time.
Now, Sebastian, I was sold a bill of goods that the way you pronounce the country is Qatar. You just called it Qatar. Which is it? I completely trust you on this. If it's Qatar, I'll go forward pronouncing it like guitar. You just got to let me know which is the right way to do it.
I'll let you guys in on a little inside baseball. So one of the bosses at ESPN sent an email that was like, this is the official way to say it. And it was even more confusing. You can say it Qatar, as I think a little bit more would be said here in the region. But those are some sounds that we don't really often make in English. So Qatar is a little bit more friendly, I think, to the Western tongue. I've heard people here say Qatar. I think it's all just kind of which syllable you accent, right? So I think it's all in the details, but they're pretty loose with it here. Nobody's really policing us, at least on that.
Nobody's saying Qatar, though, Cakes, which
I'm
is what
Qatar.
You say.
I'm officially off
Qatar.
I'm off it.
All right, that works.
Thank you, Sebastian.
All right, how big is the upset there? Argentina losing seems massive to us.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, it's not a death knell for Argentina by any means. I think you've probably heard the U.S. coach describe this as two tournaments, right? You got your group phase, you survive that, then the knockouts. The group phase is forgiving, but Argentina's basically run out of wiggle room, right? They still control their own destiny. They got games against Mexico and Poland coming up, and if they win those, they'll be in the knockout rounds, no problem. But any more slip-ups, certainly any more losses in the group phase, and Mexico and Poland are worthy opponents. And Argentina, with a great Lionel Messi in his last World Cup, probably not the better favorite. I think Brazil is. Argentina's right behind them in most of the books that I'm looking at. It would be out of the World Cup, and that would be a shock. It's also a shock because it comes at the hands of Saudi Arabia, who only once in their history has even made it out of the group phase. And it's even more shocking the way the game played out. Argentina actually was up 2-0, 3-0 at different points in the first half, but those goals are disallowed because of VAR, and I think Argentina at that point was thinking, well, this is just going to be a cakewalk. But eventually it's only 1-0 when you get to the half. You know, soccer, guys, anything can happen. Saudi Arabia gets a couple goals in a five-minute span, and I think the Argentines were just shocked. They were shell-shocked after that and really couldn't figure it out. Huge credit to Saudi Arabia, but, you know, it's not over for Argentina. They've just run out of margin for error in the group phase.
So rewind for a second for those that don't understand. You said VAR.
Yes. VAR, which is video assistant referee, right? Video assistant review. When you're a referee, now we have video, like in any other sports, you have the instant replays. And basically what soccer is trying to do is take out those situations where everybody on the couch can see that the referee got it wrong. Everybody in the stadium can see it on the replay. And the only person that doesn't have the advantage of that visual is the referee. Sometimes what that leads to, and it's kind of taken some of the joy out of soccer, is you'll see an incredible goal scored. The assistant referee, the actual person on the field, doesn't signal for offside. Everybody celebrates, and then, beep, hold on, we got to check it. They're basically using effectively the same technology that you guys see in tennis, that Hawkeye, to find out exactly kind of what it is. So if you believe the computers, it's hard to argue it, but man, they show these images of a guy's like shoulder just offside, and you're like, for real? Like, yes. You guys played a little pickup. I know some of you. It's like you're going to take away a beautiful goal for that. It's hard to believe, but by the letter of the law and according to these computers, the goals were offside.
Yeah, is it better for the game, though? Because I think it was the first goal that was scored in the World Cup by Ecuador against the host country, Qatar, that was disallowed, and then they showed the simulation, and it looked like the guy's like barely part of his shin was offsides, but I guess by the letter of the law, it's technically offsides. But they also mentioned that in years past, there's no way that the refs are calling that offsides. That's a good goal in any World Cup prior to this one.
100%. You know, the computer will go and every millimeter, frame by frame, look for an offside. Before, we didn't have that, so unless it was obvious, you weren't calling it. The goal that you bring up, the first few minutes of the World Cup in Qatar's home World Cup, everyone was like, wait a second, they just invented this offside so that Qatar doesn't get blown out. In the end, it didn't matter, right? Ecuador ran them over. But, yeah, that was very, very suspicious and not a great start to VAR for this tournament.
Speaking of bad starts, I bet on Argentina earlier today. Now I'm chasing my tail, Sebastian.
But it was a free bet. It was a free bet in Maryland. Sebastian, you can bet in Maryland now.
That is true. It was a free bet.
But I saw that.
I still want to win my free bets. Now I need you to give me the best bet still left on the card today. You have Denmark-Tunisia. That kicks off in about half an hour Eastern time, Mexico, Poland, and France, Australia. What's your best bet of those three matches upcoming?
France is going to be a huge favorite, right? So you're not probably going to get a lot of, a big payout there. Poland, I think, is actually paying out a little bit better than Mexico. I'm not sure what book you're looking at, but I do believe Poland's just a slight dog there. If you go like Moneyline, maybe like plus 185 or something. Poland-Mexico could very well end in a draw because I think both teams would sign that right now. But I'll tell you what, and this is as somebody who studies the Mexican national team very closely, but is also, somewhat of a pessimistic fan of that team. They are going to have a world of trouble with Poland's superstar striker, this guy Robert Lewandowski. If there's one thing, Mexico does well, it's keep the ball, possess the ball. If there's one thing they don't do well, man, they're not a bunch of tall guys on this Mexican national team. They're not going to be able to jump with the trees in Poland. It's going to be very, very difficult. And I'm just worried for Mexico. Like, the teams are even, but the matchup is terrible. And if Lewandowski gets one goal, he may as well get three. Mexico is coming in very, very weak. So I think Poland there as like a money line dog might be a pretty good value in this game today. Mexico is really a team that historically, last seven World Cups, gets out of the group phase. I think this is the World Cup where that ends, and I think later today is kind of the beginning of those troubles for Mexico.
All right, Sebastian, let's get to the U.S. men's national team. Your assessment of the first game. I saw on ESPN, I think, Taylor Twillman grilling some of the tactics. I don't know. How do you assess that first game?
So, it's a blown opportunity, a really big blown opportunity, one that may very well come back to haunt the U.S. I think the responsibility falls on the players, right? They're the guys on the field. Walker Zimmerman, the central defender who makes the tackle that results in the penalty kick. Guys, that is a tackle that if we were playing in Montgomery County Rec League, I'd look at the center back and say, what the hell are you doing? There's no need to do that. And especially, we just talked about VAR. In this era of VAR, you can't get away with anything. You just can't. They're going to see that, and they're going to slow-mo it, and it's going to be an obvious penalty. So it's a bonehead mistake that takes you from getting 3 points down to one. And why is that so critical? If the United States wins that game, we're talking right now about potential second-round matchups. Things are looking very, very good for the U.S. Now that they've dropped those points, it's a coin flip. And actually, the way the group sets up, it's very worrisome for the United States because Wales will play Iran next. It's not a guarantee, but it's most likely, I believe, that Wales will beat Iran. Meanwhile, U.S. plays England. Again, not a guarantee, but most likely that England beats the U.S. If those two things happen, the United States goes into their last game of the group phase not in control of their own destiny. Wales is in control of their own destiny to get the second place out of this four-team group. So it's in that light disastrous to have dropped those 2 points, especially when you were leading. Now, I use the word responsibility. Let me also drop some blame here because you talked about tactics. There is some blame for the manager, Greg Berhalter. He nailed the starting 11 because if you saw that game, you don't even know anything about soccer. The U.S. were dominant. You didn't even know who the U.S. goalie was. Like, Wales was doing absolutely nothing in the first half. Credit to Wales' manager. He made a really key change at the half, and Berhalter didn't, in the second half, make that chess move to respond. It was only more and more and more that Wales kind of took over that second half, and Berhalter didn't make the right changes at the right time to influence the game. So responsibility on the players, but I think we also have to put some blame on the manager because he's got to help those guys out. When he sees that there's a fire on the field and the 11 guys out there can't figure it out, you got to give him some help. And when you got five subs to play with, you got to do it quick.
All right, so you're saying it's a toss-up It's 50-50 at this point, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I don't like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, I know you don't like it, and you're going into that last game against Iran. I don't need to tell you guys the geopolitical tensions that'll be around that game. Iran will be super motivated. And in that last game of the group phase, let's also think that England has won their first two games. They might be resting guys against Wales, who will also, for their own geopolitical reasons, be super pumped up to take on England. So the way the group sets up, I'm really starting to feel very uncomfortable about the U.S. having to kind of scoreboard watch and lean on other things happening to kind of keep themselves above water. And last night, those last 10 minutes of the game was the opportunity to eliminate that, to be like, we're in control of our own destiny, and that's where you want to be in the group phase.
All right, I had questions for Drabby because he's our most soccer knowledgeable guy, but he couldn't really answer me definitively. What's going on with Cristiano Ronaldo and his club team and everything? They're benching him. I don't know. There's beef. Is he not one of the elite players in the world anymore?
Not anymore. Really? Not anymore. So the quick version of what's happened with him at club, right? He goes from Juventus to Manchester United a couple years ago, and his first season at Manchester United goes relatively well for him. He scores a bunch of goals, but the team has a disastrous season. So what do you do? Fire everybody, bring in a new coach. The new coach is building for the future. Ronaldo's on his last leg, so he's not really having the primary role for Cristiano Ronaldo that he's accustomed to. Now there's two ways to handle that. You can be a good sport about it, or you cannot be a good sport about it. Cristiano Ronaldo, as this, of course, World Cup break is coming up, decides that, you know, take the grenade and throw it back into the Manchester United dressing room. He does this world-famous interview with Piers Morgan, basically gasses everybody at Manchester United, the manager, the owners, the guy that cleans the locker room. Everybody's terrible at Manchester United. And so what happens? Some of his Portugal teammates are also his Manchester United teammates. And the video that's making the rounds right now is Bruno Fernandes coming into the Portugal locker room, seeing Ronaldo and giving him kind of the cold shoulder and kind of a cold fish handshake. And it's like, ooh, is what's happening with Ronaldo at club level going to impact this Portuguese national team? He's still a stud. He's still, you know, odds on one of the top, I think I got it here, 5-6 guys to win the Golden Boot in this tournament. But he is no longer, you know, top 5-6 players in the world. That era, that time in Ronaldo's career has, I think, quite clearly passed.
How does that happen? How could he be one of the top guys to win the Golden Boot or whatever, and then but not be one of the top players in the world?
Well, you got to think about he's the leading guy on a Portuguese team that a lot of people see as a dark horse. Like, there's two ways to win the Golden Boot. You play on a team that gets some easy matchups in the group phase, you load up on goals, or your team goes deep and you're the guy who not just scores goals, but critically here, guys, takes the penalty kicks, which Cristiano Ronaldo can do for Portugal. So there's some kind of logic that goes into picking him. But he's 37 years old. I'm 39. I hate to say that 37 is old. But, you know, in soccer, it really is. And I think at some point, father time, like, catches up with everybody in every sport. And is he still a clinical finisher? Yes. Does he get himself into as many good spots as he used to? No. And that's where you go from elite to still really, really good, but not in that, you know, gotcha, top 5, top 1%.
Gotcha. Hey, is Sebastian Salazar, soccer guy, a Taylor Heinicke fan?
Yes, love Taylor Heinicke. He's chaos. I mean, just from a neutral standpoint, from like an entertainment standpoint, I freaking love Taylor Heinicke. Absolutely, yeah. Do you guys not love him?
Well, there's ups and downs with him, and he throws a lot of YOLO balls. They're winning games with him, but you wonder if it's going to catch
exactly
up to him.
No, he's fun to root for.
I'd rather be entertained. Yeah, he's an underdog. He's, what, an ODU guy? You know, the FCS? I mean, yeah, you got to love that.
Sebastian, we loved having you on. We will have to do it more recently than the next 4 years, so we'll have to have you on again. We appreciate you calling.
And you know what? I golfed with Sebastian probably like 6 years ago, and we said we were going to do it again. We need to do it again.
Apparently not.
Maybe we'll do it before the final.
All right, brother. Yeah. All right, definitely. Yeah, glad to be back with you guys. You know I'm a Montgomery County kid. Love being on with you, and as always, a real honor and a treat for me.
All right, man.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your time over there. You do a great job.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I have failed to mention, this is a failure on my part, we have good giveaways today that we will do before the show is over.
We
have two pair of tickets to see the Caps take on the Calgary Flames this Friday at 2 p.m. So keep listening for your chance to win those post-Thanksgiving Turkey Day Friday, Black Friday game tickets to see the Caps. Hopefully they can rebound and put a few points on the board. Been scuffling a bit of late, so we'll give those away before the show is done today. But right now it's time for the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by Offenbachers. Visit them in Annapolis, Rockville, or Herndon for a huge selection of outdoor furniture, fire pits, hot tubs, and swim spas.
All right, so real quick, because I want to get into this article from Albert Breer about the Commanders and how they saved their season by not panicking. But just a quick recap of your Monday Night Football game. The San Francisco 49ers, who, of course, the Commanders are trailing for the final wild card spot, improved to 6-4 with a 38-10 stomping of the Arizona Cardinals. They started off slow, but in the end, Jimmy Garoppolo throws four touchdown passes, two to George Kittle, two to Brandon Ayuk. Impressive offensive performance from the San Francisco 49ers, who we know they have a really good defense. Mm-hmm. We know that it exists. Colt McCoy got the start for the Cardinals. He threw a pick. Wasn't his fault. Actually threw it right into James Conner's hands. That's one of those ones where Jason says the quarterback shouldn't get the interception.
Kind of agree with him on that point.
I mean, it was like a 7-yard pass to Conner. Maybe threw it hard, and it just... right through his hand to a defender.
These are two NFC West teams going in completely opposite directions. The Niners are ascending. The Cardinals are a mess. Looks like Kyler Murray might not even play next week because they have a bye the following week. So the conventional wisdom is hold him out until he's 100% healthy. But they're 4-7 at this point. Their season's going nowhere.
Yeah, but you can never give up.
You never give up.
Just ask my boys.
I just don't see them getting through that minefield of the NFC West.
Well, I also saw reports yesterday that a lot of players prefer Colt McCoy at quarterback over Kyler Murray. Yeah, I think he's better. And I know that Aikman was making a big point. Clearly, they had a meeting with the quarterbacks and or coaches, both, and said that McCoy told his receivers, be in these spots, and he throws to the spots, kind of like what we've talked about with Taylor Heineke, that he knows the offense, he gets rid of the ball, puts it where it's supposed to be. You saw Hopkins actually had a big game.
Right.
They couldn't run the football.
And Kyler's a guy who improvises a lot, and he just relies on his legs when they're healthy.
They said he's a first read guy. If it doesn't go to the first read, it's over.
Right.
With Kyler?
Yes.
Boy, he just makes it up. Makes it up after that.
So anyway, good win for the San Francisco 49ers. You look at it, they ran for 159 yards. McCaffrey just had 7 carries. Elijah Mitchell had 9 carries. They give Debo the ball 3 times. He has a long touchdown run. So impressive performance by the 49ers. All right, wanted to get into this Commanders thing. So I believe it's Albert Breer put out the article on the Monday Morning Quarterback. And it's about how Ron Rivera really wouldn't waver. Even though the team was 1-4, he thought that the team was close. He's quoted in here saying, even though we got beat, you watched them play, and then when you broke down the tape, you went to that little finite mentality that we have as coaches, as we watch certain plays and we say, God damn it, look how effing close we are.
I remember he said that, I think it was even after the Eagles game, where I just felt like we were humiliated.
Look at Rob with the salty mouth.
He said, if we can sustain that block a half a step longer, if the quarterback has a half a second more, if those type of things happen, you sit there and you go, dang, or on defense, hey, we got to get that switch right. And so he felt like the team was close, and I want to pose the question, should we be giving Ron Rivera more credit? I'll put it up as the Junkies Poll of the Day, brought to you by Van Meter Homes. We can open up the phone lines at 800-636-1067. Because at 1-4, a team can go south. We saw it. Look what happened with Carolina. And Matt Rhule got fired. Ron Rivera does have some sort of ability to keep the ship steady, even when it looks like it's about to sink.
I asked for his resignation 3 times. I think after the Eagle loss, the Cowboy loss, and then maybe the Bears win.
Okay.
I said, even though they won that game, so Squeaker, we still just fire everyone, right? Because it was so bad. But you got to give them credit. They have kept it together. I remember specifically having a conversation with Linnell, who does some post-game stuff, some pre-game stuff. I know he works at 980 a lot now. And I told him, you can come back. Even though I was anti-Ron, that you – I think it was maybe the Cowboy game that he said was an absolute must win. If you lose that Cowboy game, it's over. And I'm telling you, I went on his show and I said, it's not over. Now, did I think they were going to win 5 of the next 6 after that Titan loss? No. But remember, the schedule was favorable for us. And that was the big reason why I think a lot of us had him winning 9 or 10 games, because the schedule wasn't brutal.
The schedule looked good, and now you're in a dogfight with Atlanta because you're the two teams on the outside looking in as far as the playoffs go. And then you have back-to-back games against the Giants, and every report you see about the Giants of late is Wandale Robinson is out for the season. They're losing guys left and right on their offensive line, so maybe they're not the team that they were in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season when you faced them.
Yep.
So that's good.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, call us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Should we be giving Coach Ron Rivera more credit for this team turning it around and sitting here at 6-5 in playoff contention? Here are a couple other nuggets in this article.
Yeah.
He does acknowledge that they're catching some breaks. Even in this last game, he says, he talks about the near interception at the beginning of the game for Taylor Heineke. Rivera said, in the past, maybe somebody catches it. And the next thing you know, we're in a dogfight all the way through. Instead, 4 plays later, The Commanders responded with Kendall Fuller picking off Davis Mills, and the game goes the other way.
Here's where I'll give him some credit, and I know that we were really hard on him in this area. Picking the players. Now, he may have not solved that quarterback riddle yet, which is a difficult riddle to solve, which is one they've been trying to solve here for 25 years.
The most difficult.
Okay. And I think he did over-evaluate the talent that he had on the offensive line, you know, letting certain guys go and bringing in other guys and bringing in Carolina guys, whatever. The offensive line clearly hasn't lived up to it. But I think, by and large, the roster's fairly talented.
Sure.
I think defensively we mocked them.
Has
I know
some
I
holes.
Did. I think defensively we mocked them. You know, got one linebacker, the DBs we didn't like. They're holding up remarkably well.
Yeah,
nobody argues that it's a playoff defense. And offensively, outside of the quarterback and offensive line, they're pretty talented
and you know
roster.
What? They're playing better on defense ever since William Jackson left.
Absolutely. Addition by subtraction.
He's out of the mix, and the secondary looks remarkably better. And the emergence of Derek Forrest as a playmaker,
it
can't be overstated. That
he's
guy makes plays, like huge, impactful plays week
All
in,
those
week
guys
out.
Back there, St. Juiced, McCain, Cam Curl, Derek Forrest, they're playing great.
Here's what Rivera said to Albert Breer. Said, you don't make changes to make changes, to show people you're doing something, if you believe in the people you have. I mean, I've always felt the things that we did with Jack Del Rio, our first year, we can continue to do. And then obviously we had the down year last year and for specific reasons. But at the end of the day, you got to keep plugging away. You got to keep showing people you believe in them. And that is one of the strengths. I think when we've talked to Jonathan Allen, he's going to join us at 9 o'clock. He's pointed to a consistent message coming from Ron Rivera.
And I know there have been times where I felt like the front four was very overrated, that we weren't getting production from John
and from Ron Payne. Those days are done. Those days are officially over.
But I think it's because they are what they preached has actually come to fruition, that guys staying within their lanes, playing within their roles is going to lead to benefits. And I think it has. I think what they've preached defensively, by and large, you got to tip your cap to them.
By the way, he does address the quarterback position. And again, we'll take your calls next at 800-636-1067.
I think he's wavering on this a little bit,
too. He does.
He
says yes.
Off a little bit.
Taylor's our starter. And the big thing is, it'll always be about one game at a time. This is not, oh, he's the starter for the rest of the year. No, we'll talk only one game at a time. I don't want people to get ahead of us or anything. I want to stay focused on a one game at a time, not, oh, you got a shot at the playoffs, you can beat the Giants. We have to play Atlanta first, and then we play New York, and we'll see what happens.
Well, let me say this. I agree with it. I think he is. I think he's being honest. But that's not what he said like 2 days before.
I understand.
2 days before, he said, oh, if I go with you, I'm going to go with you. I'm not going to have a quick hook.
Sure.
And it's your job, sort of. He backed off that immediately. He backed off after he didn't play very well.
Yeah, I think he might have consistent messaging. He might have consistent messaging with his team. To the media, we know he says things and sometimes recants.
He's all over the place.
I think he said on our show he has the power to do that.
All right, we'll take your calls next on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines, 800-636-1067. How much credit are you giving Ron Rivera for the heater the Commanders are currently on? We'll take your calls next, 800-636-1067.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.